Blog Talk Radio.
You're the light, you're the night, you're the color of my blood. You're the cure, you're the pain, you're the only thing I want to touch.
Welcome to Cultural Conversations with me, your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. Join us as we bring weekly cultural topics right here to our studio. You, as our studio audience, are welcome to chime in and call the studio or join us on chat. Because, you know, at Cultural Conversations, we believe that cultural issues really do shape and impact our world. So, join us as we discuss the hottest topics and the cultural issues of our day. Stay tuned.
Well, welcome to another segment of Culture Conversations with me, your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. I am happy to have in our Cultural Conversation studios tonight, Ms. Barbara Wells. Barbara is a candidate for a political candidate for a school board in Kankakee, Illinois. And so I am excited to have her in our studio. She is a social media friend. I'm going to say, I don't know how we categorize social media friends. Met her on social media, awesome woman, very versed in the political sphere, and we have a lot to learn from Barbara Wells. And I want to bring her on just a little bit later. I'm going to bring her on and find out what is her campaign all about and what's the biggest, bigger thing about her campaign, because she is quite an educator. And even through social media, you can kind of feel Barbara is educating you on what's the issues and issues that impact communities, issues that impact families, and she is right on target with those things. And so we want to know what makes her tick and what is her candidacy all about and what does she hope to inspire and to deliver. This week has been, for those who celebrated Passover a week and a half ago, I think, and then Easter. And then, you know, we had a lot of things that happened in the news, always things that happen in the news. And so for this Monday, I just want to slow it down and say we made it. We made it through Easter. We made it through Passover. We made it through family gatherings, and those were great. And hopefully that you were blessed with your family gatherings and everything went well there. It was great to see different Easter pictures. You know how, like, down south, we dress up and get really all Easter dolled up with the pretty bright colors, and the little girls wear the little fun frilly socks and really beautiful Easter outfits and look like they had a resurgence of that. And so Easter was wonderful, and hopefully people remembered why here that we celebrate Easter here in the U.S. and on the western side, why we celebrate Easter. Also in the news, just making cultural news that was brought because of the buzz of the holiday and it's spring break and everything like that, a lot of times people take a break from news and take a break from everything because they're vacationing. That's understandable. Well, one of my other friends who I've gone to school with, graduated, he is from Kenya. And, of course, if you watch the news, there was this horrible tragedy in Kenya at a school in Kenya where children trying to get educated. Gunmen came in and murdered nearly 150 children and school students. So our heart goes out to Kenya and the families there. And so, you know, we're going to be talking about families today. We're going to be talking about communities. Next week, he's going to come on and give us an update from Kenya of what's going on there. But tonight's show, again, we are so excited to have tonight's show, Ms. Barbara A. Taylor Wells, and she will be in our studio. She is an incumbent vying for her seat to represent, again, Kankakee School District 111 as the school board president, and that's very impressive. Barbara will give us her perspective on the race, why she is engaged in the political process, the local levels, and why it is so important for all to become aware of the role politics have on our lives. And so she's always educating, trust me. She's always saying, y'all need to get out there and vote. Right now, I'm just going to play something to really put us in the mood and remember the reason for the season and reflect on our families and reflect on things that we need to reflect on. And then we'll be back with Barbara A. Taylor Wells. Thank you. Thank you.
And Pamela Mary.
Hello.
Yes, Barbara, you are on the air with Cultural Conversations. Welcome. We are honored to have you tonight.
All right. Thank you so much for having me, Verona. I am just so excited and exhausted at the same time, if you can imagine.
I can imagine. And, you know, that's all. I've worked political campaigns before, and the only advice I could give you was drink lots of water and get lots of rest.
Well, I don't sleep very well, and I don't know if it's more to do with my age or just the excitement of getting out on the campaign trail once again, talking to our fellow citizens about what we need to do.
Yeah, it seems like a very important campaign. You know, a lot of people sleep on, you know, the school board campaigns, but I think it's very important, and I know you're going to get into a little bit about why, you know, this campaign and this run is very important. But, you know, so that we can get started on the right foot, I would like for you to give our listening audience just a bit of information about yourself, where you're coming from, you know, the schools that you went to, and kind of your background.
Oh, my goodness. How far back do you want to go? I'm quite ancient. Anyway, well, I'll just tell my story of Kankakee. I came here when I was 21 years old. I was fresh out of college and lived on Washington Avenue. And actually, that's where I met my future in-laws. And the neighbor lady downstairs had three children, two boys and a girl. And they went on to become my nieces and nephews through marriage. But I just always have loved children. I always thought that education was important, that it should be important in the household, it should be important to the community, and it should be important in schools. And so my little niece, and I shouldn't call her little anymore because she has a PhD in sociology, and she's a professor at the University of Washington in Seattle. And she told me that it was just such a great thing of me meeting her, taking her to the library, teaching her songs that I knew, and talking to her about reading and talking to her about her education. And she was probably in about the second or third grade about the time I met her in her life. And, you know, just knowing that those conversations and that kind of contact had influence on her, you know, it just, you know, it kind of planted a seed in me. So after I had my own children many years later, and they are now adults, and I put them through the Kankakee school system, and I saw some of the experiences that I had as a parent and that they had as students that weren't satisfactory, I just kept asking myself, what can we do to change this? Why is this the way it is? And, you know, one of the answers that I used to get, and this is something that just stands the hair up on the back of my neck. Oh, we've always done it this way. Well, that's the way we do it. And so when I began to realize that people were just accepting not always getting the best for the children with the resources that we had, I just really decided that needed to change.
Right. Now, tell us a little bit about Kankakee because, you know, you're running in this district. So just give us like a little demographic or a profile, you know, of where Kankakee
about
is.
About Kankakee School District?
Yeah.
Our district actually, two cities are covered by our districts and some rural townships in Kankakee County. It's situated in Kankakee, Illinois. And in the county, there's about 110,000 folks. In the city, there's about 25,000. And then in the other town that we serve, it's probably about
7,000 or 8,000 folks in between the county or between the other city, which is Aroma Park, and the townships that we serve. And we are, you know, like every other public school that is has a high percentage of low-income families. We have 86% of our students are low-income, and then we have 49% of our students are African-American, 23% are white, and then 26% are Hispanic. And then we have a very low population of all the rest, Asian, Indian, and two or more races. So, you know, it's not, we are culturally diverse, we're economically challenged because a lot of our parents, you know, are, you know, our students come from low-income families.
Now, it's interesting that you come from the community, you're looking at the community profile and makeup, and a lot of people will, you know, will say, well, maybe, you know, politics or running for a particular office is for a person that's been groomed for politics or groomed for that. But tell us about your stance, you know, the leadership that you exude in your household, in your community, education, and in the political arena, because, you know, I hear a lot of people on the street saying, well, you know, they went to school for politics, so therefore they can run for office. But how do you get into this?
Well, I don't agree at all, and I think that you have to have, you know, a little bit of moxie, a little bit of sense, and then you just have to have a lot of drive to get out there and talk to folks. I had a springboard, and I didn't start out wanting to be in politics. My community experience was I was a housing counselor for a not-for-profit housing agency. So I knew families and had to talk to them and counsel them on budgeting and credit, you know, sending them out to different entities in the community to get certain things done, like if they were going to look for another job, where to go to get a resume done, if they needed to, you know, deal with collections, where the collection agency was, and making arrangements with them. And, you know, I just worked with them in a very intimate way. And I built up a lot of trust from the people that I was working for, helping them in this way and helping them buy their homes. And they would always be like, thank you so much for all your help. You really, really helped me. And I told them, all I did was give you the information. You did the work. This is your success. And they would, you know, we would laugh. And we, you know, I remained friends with a lot of these people, became friends with them and remained friends with them over the years. So when I began to campaign for school board and how I got on the school board, I was appointed because people in the community knew my reputation for this work. But what they didn't know is I was like a secret firebrand because I just really am passionate about education, because I know that if we successfully educate our children, that we can eliminate a lot of this poverty that we experience as a country. There's studies that show that we have thousands of jobs, even in our county, that go unfilled, where employers can't hire the people who live here because they don't possess the skill set necessary to work the job. So what does that mean? That means that the education system that this individual went through, and whatever pieces of education that they got while they were going through that system, was not adequate. So how do we address these things, and what do we do about those things to make them adequate, right?
So you're actually tying in education as a workforce issue.
Yeah, I've always seen it as that. And what I didn't understand is why the people who were on the boards and the people who were in the classrooms and the people who were acting as administrators didn't see that. And I even still now today, having become a board member, run into various parents that have had some very troubling experiences with our school district. But here's the good news. The good news is that change and help are on the horizon. And so that's why I'm running so hard to reseat myself, because we just hired a new superintendent of schools. She is actually a native of Kankakee, was born here at St. Mary's Hospital up on Court Street. She was raised here. She went to the school district, graduated from this district, worked for us briefly, then went on to establish herself as a superintendent in another school district and decided to return to us as a superintendent of schools. And here's the long, short story of that. She was one of the folks that I had helped buy her first home. And when I worked with her, she was working on her master's degree. She had two small children and a husband who was in the military. He was a Marine. And she was working full-time for the district, but at a very low-paying job. And so she and I, we would laugh and we would talk, and she was, you know, we would talk about education, and both of us were, my daughter was a little bit younger than hers, and so she was telling me what programs to apply for to get my daughter into when she was ready to go enroll in school. And then I said, wouldn't it be great if one day you came back and became superintendent of schools? And she laughed, and she says, oh, that'll never happen. So here we are, some 25 years later, and it's happened.
Well, I think that's a wonderful story. That's a good one. That's a good story, and that's a good reality check to, like, all of us, that you never count yourself out, and you never know what the future will hold, and you never just discount anyone out. Everyone has potential. You know, and that's a perfect story. Well, Barbara, hold on just a sec. I just want to make this announcement. If you would like to call into Cultural Conversations tonight and talk with Barbara A. Taylor Wells, please do call in our show. You're welcome to call in, ask questions, and, you know, engage in this conversation. But Barbara's going to be telling her story, and I'm thankful that she has graced us at Cultural Conversation studio tonight. You can call in the show at 347-857-3121. Again, the number is 347-857-3121. We're having a cultural conversation with our political spotlight tonight, Barbara A. Taylor Wells, Kankakee School District 111, 111. And so Barbara, she is an incumbent, vying for her seat to represent Kankakee School District again as school board president. And Barbara will give us her perspective, and she has given us a little bit about her perspective on this race. Why is she running? What are some of the aspirations she has for the work that's still yet to be done? And so the chat line is open, and I see you in the chat room. Thank you very much for joining us in the chat room. And please do remember that you can always pose your questions, and I will readily read them to Barbara and get her answer to you. But again, if you would like to call in the show live, it is 347-857-3121, and you're listening to Cultural Conversations with Verona Mitchell. Barbara, as I'm looking at, you know, the profile of what you have done in the past, the work is still not completed, and that's what you're saying. Your work is still not complete. What are some of your goals as the parents, the community, and the kids have dictated is left for you to do there?
Oh, there's much to accomplish yet. As I stated earlier, we just hired a brand new superintendent of schools who actually is bringing a new dynamic to the district. One of the things that she's done is to bring a program that we have not had a year that we did not expel a student from the district for behavior problems or some other dangerous behavior. And so, you know, previous administrations would be, well, this is what the policy says, and we need to dismiss them from school. And the board would agree with the administration. And I would always ask, well, what was done to help avoid this? And, of course, they would get irritated with me. They're like, why is she questioning us? Who does she think she is? And this superintendent came in and said, well, I want to start a program called a crisis intervention. So when a student does something in a main regular school building that's totally unacceptable, that needs to be removed from the general school population, we put them into the CRIS program, and with the support of the teachers and the counselors and the psychologists that she has hired to work in this program, that student gets the support they need to get back on track. And then depending on how they do their work when they are in the crisis intervention program, they are then transitioned back into the general school population if they're doing well enough. That totally innovative, totally within the realm of possibility of something that we could have done, you know, a long time ago, but not within the skill set of the folks that we had previously running the district. And this young lady has brought us to this point. So that was just year one. So, you know, you really cannot see trends in education or trends as what's happening with students in a very short time frame. It takes about 5 years to really see if curriculum that has been instituted is working, if teacher development programs that have been put in are working. And so a superintendent needs a nice long runway if she's going to get an opportunity to be successful. And so that's the only reason why I'm running for the board this time, is to give her the space to do the work that she needs to do for the good of our children.
Right. And I think something that you said was very important for us to keep in mind, and you said this earlier, that you have to have moxie, and you have to have, a creative will. So if you have these ideas and you get pushback, the pushback may not be intentional. It may be, honestly, people are saying, we don't have any other way, and this is the way that we've done it, and it seems to work because we get things passed this way. May not be the right way, but this is the only way we know how to do it. And so it's very valuable, Barbara, and you already know this, to have those new, fresh ideas, challenging in a respectful way. So challenges and conflict, they can't be looked at as, oh, this is so negative, we're not going to get anything done. But look at the new program that it spurred, and students are able to stay in school until they get their act together, or until parents, teachers, school administrators, their act together around the kid so that they can go back into the population without being expelled from school. And I think things like that, creative minds, I think, and people have those ideas all the time, but they're too afraid to execute them. What makes
right.
you brave enough to speak up, brave enough to carry the mantle of president? What gives you that moxie?
Well, one of the things is the time that I have previously served on the board. And I just, you know, it is not about, you know, me gaining the mantle of presidency as so much as it was about creating an environment and a space for somebody with the vision to come in and really move this district forward. And I look and going back to the program that I told you about, one of the things that the superintendent said, which was something that I was always saying when I would argue with my past board members, is that these students that we expel, they stay in our community. Who do you think is the person who ends up robbing the little old lady at Jewel's? Who is that person? That's somebody who has come out of our school system that has not completed the work in the way that will help them create a better life for themselves. So they say, oh, well, I don't have any hope. I don't have any options. I'm going to do this crime to, you know, close my economic gap at your expense. Mm-hmm. And those people, they don't go away. They're not going to disappear. You cannot incarcerate all of them, okay? So we've got to fix our school system so that we don't have those massive amounts of students who are just washing out of the system and into, you know, another system of criminal justice and problems that instead of being contributors to society, they're now a weight on society.
Right. So it starts, I guess you're talking about the partnership between family, community, school, and work. And we haven't talked much about the kids. Tell us a little bit about the kids, because this is all about the kids. They are our future. So tell us about these students. What are some of the achievements of these students at Putnam?
Okay, well, recently we've actually had some very good news come out of Kankakee. I don't know if you paid attention to my Facebook feed when I was talking about our kids were going to be on the David Letterman show.
Yes.
Well, David Letterman years ago made a big joke about Kankakee because we were in some book called The Places Rated, and it rated all of the cities with 25,000 or more in population and counties with 25,000 or more in population or some such thing. And they said that we were like second from the last in this book. And so David Letterman called up the mayor at that time and said that he was going to help us turn this city around, and he was going to gift us a gazebo. And then he called back the next week and he said, you know what, you don't need one gazebo, you need two. So you'll have the motto of Kankakee, the city of twin gazebos. So, you know, everybody was, you know, upset, a little ticked off. I thought it was funny because I love David Letterman. And so the kids started a new class called the American Experience class, and they're actually merging literature and history. And so one of the kids were doing a research project on Kankakee and kept running across articles about this twin gazebo thing. And so the class came up with a project of turning one of the gazebos into a rocking chair and gifting it back to David Letterman for his retirement. And they persisted, because initially when they proposed it, the producers said no. The kids emailed, they Facebooked, they kept contacting Mr. Letterman and his producers, and finally they said, okay, fine. So the Letterman production company came. We were in the local theater. The mayor was involved. Some of the elected officials got on camera, and they did a bunch of little stick stuff, and they put it all together, and we were actually on national television. And there was no crime committed. It was an actual fun, uplifting event about our kids and our city. And David Letterman got a very nice rocking chair.
Yeah, it was.
And
it
our
was
kids.
You were so, for days. It was a buildup of days. You know, like, my kid's gonna be on David Letterman. We're gonna be on David Letterman. And then that day, it was like, we're on David Letterman right now. You know, and it was just to see it and see the excitement around it. And I think more and more positive things need to happen, because, you know, we hear about bad things that happen in school, but we need to start seeing that and hearing about the positive things that are happening in school. So whatever role you played there, Barbara, thank you.
Well, my only role, and see, that's the other thing that most people don't understand about board members, and we're getting that whole dynamic in order. Board members don't run the schools. Board members don't inform other administrators what to do. The Board of Education in Illinois has one employee, And really, nationwide, you have one employee. You hire the superintendent of schools. And once you hire that individual, that's the person who's supposed to run the district. Now, they are supposed to, anything outside of policy and anything to do with large payments has to come through the board. So the board has to approve things. So what happened was our superintendent, our brand new superintendent, who she actually, she has a joke that she tells. Her father used to run a tavern in this town, and he was quite a gruff guy. I never met him, but everybody knew that he was a character, and she said he was a very scary man, and he used to intimidate and scare everybody. But she was his child, and she wasn't scared of anybody. So she came to the board when the staff came to her and said that they wanted to do this thing. She immediately had them put the proposal together and come to the board. Now, she informed us that they were coming. They made their presentation. She endorsed it. And the board gave the administration permission to go ahead and allow our kids to participate in this thing. Before, everybody would, the immediate answer would be no. No, no, we can't do that. No. In fact, when they approached the city and asked for the gazebos, the first answer was no. And that's one of the things that we tend to do in this town. We tell ourselves no. We don't let anybody else tell us no. We'll just go ahead and say the answer is no, and we won't try that because it's different or it's a little scary.
Yeah, well, but sometimes you have to branch out, and that's how innovation gets done, and that's how the world keeps evolving. You have to evolve or you die. That's from Jurassic Park. Life goes on, it evolves or it dies.
Mm-hmm.
That's life, and it can happen to a city. It can actually happen to a city. Barbara, we're going to take a break right now, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about election, because the election is tomorrow.
It is.
So
okay.
And the importance of voting. So, again, we are talking with our political spotlight tonight is on Barbara A. Taylor Wells. She is running for board president, school board president of District 111. And Barbara has delighted us and given us her perspective on what's needed in the community, what's needed in school, and the wonderful innovative projects that are going on and how the board actually functions to support the school superintendent to bring these wonderful ideas, innovative program, diversion programs, actually keep students in school and not just expelling them. How the board works in supporting that. It's working in Kankakee. It's working because people are getting together, like Barbara, and really looking at innovation and moving cities forward and moving districts forward for the sake of schools, families, community, and most of all, kids, and then the future workforce. So Barbara's been very instrumental in tying all of that together. I'm excited for her candidacy. I wish I was in Kankakee tomorrow to see her celebrate and see what she's going to continue to bring to that area and beyond. So that's a little tickler. You heard it first on Cultural Conversations, I did say, and beyond that school board. So it all works out for the good. But if you would like to call the show or you're listening to the show, thank you very much for being a great listening audience. You can call into the online studio at 347-857-321, or you can continue to listen. I am thankful that you are listening and you are in the chat room, so I'm thankful for that. And hopefully Barbara has really graced you tonight. And if you're thinking about making a run for any type of political office, it could be local political office, local, start off small, which is not really small because you're making an impact on people's lives. And whenever you're making an impact, that's not a small deal. Be brave enough to have your voice heard. Be brave enough to challenge. Be brave enough to support the greatness of the system for all. See the bigger picture. Be brave in it. Don't always be afraid. You may just change a person's life. You might just change the world. So we're going to be right back in a moment with more Barbara Wells, A. Wells Taylor. Did I say that right, Barbara? Did I say that right, Barbara? Yes, we're going to be back with more of Barbara A. Taylor Wells. Well, I have to give credit. That wasn't me on keyboard. That was Bob Baldwin on keyboard. So I have to give credit. I don't even know how to play a piano. I tried, but it didn't work out for me. But anyway, we are back with Cultural Conversations with me, your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. I am having a political spotlight on Barbara A. Taylor Wells. Her race is going to take a peak tomorrow, because that's the deadline. I mean, everybody got to get out and vote tomorrow. Barbara will be probably leading the charge to get everyone out to vote, and why it's so important to vote, even at the local levels. You don't have to wait till the president of the United States take a run in order for everybody to get out their house and vote. She has been an advocate for that online. Yeah. Every voting session, she's saying, get out to vote. And Barbara, why is it so important that we always get out to vote?
Okay, well, there's a saying in politics. If you are not at the table, you are on the menu. So if you are not voting, if your community and your neighbors are not voting, when it's time to allocate those resources for your community, you just may get overlooked simply because they know that there's no ramifications that's going to come out of this community, because the folks here don't vote. They just take whatever somebody else decides and live with it. But if in our community, and I will tell you that the parts of the community that vote are, you know, high populations of white Americans, and they live to the north of us going toward, I won't say Chicago, because it's only like 3 miles north, and then another 6 miles north in Mantino, Illinois. And they all vote in the high 50-60%. And when you look at Kankakee's election, we have, probably about 19,000 registered voters just inside the city of Kankakee. But the last mayoral election, the mayor won with 2,500 votes. Now, if 19,000 people were voting, that $2,500 would not have been nearly enough to get the mayor elected. So is the same thing with gubernatorial races and the same thing with our congressional races. The turnout is very, very low in these areas, very low. And so when it comes time for funds to be allocated, 3 miles north in Bradley, Illinois, they just got their whole interstate intersection redone. So the way it connects to the surface street, the way it connects back to the interstate, all of that was redone and made better for that community so that people and trucks and transportation was made better so that they would be able to get on and off and to where they want to go. And then I talked to our state representative for this district in Springfield, our Springfield representative. She was telling me, I was asking her, when was Kankakee's exit going to get done? And she told me, not for 5 years.
Right, they missed the window.
Right, but in the meantime, they're going to build a brand new exit that doesn't even exist about another 8 miles north of Kankakee. So, and people don't realize this because what has happened in the past, and you know, we have a very trying history in this country as a group, African American have. And we feel like sometimes, you know, in the past they wouldn't allow us to vote, and now we feel like as if we have nothing for which to vote. You know, we send people and they promise us things, and then when it comes time for the delivery, we always got excuses. Well, it's because we don't hold people accountable. If we see something we don't like, we'll talk to one another. But do you sit down and put pen to paper or now just go out on the Facebook or go on to the email or go on to the elected person's website and say, hey, I don't like this thing that you voted for, or why did you allow them to cut this thing that really helps my community? My daughter lives in a housing complex that has some publicly funded apartments in it. And the rental manager told the tenants, said, you guys didn't go vote. We have this new governor. Now when things get cut, I don't want to hear anybody complaining.
Right.
Because complaining after the fact is way too late. The folks have their seat. They're going to sit in that seat until the next election. And if you didn't put them in that seat, they don't feel like they have to answer to you.
Right. I think that, you know, education around voting should be essential as learning math or reading or, you know, it should be essential part of citizenship. Because I've heard so many people, and years ago I had a nonprofit for women to educate women on civil duties, their civil duties as, you know, everyday citizens. We did welfare reform. What else did we do? Children and family services type of deals where we go and door knock and kind of get assessments from the community. And every year we would plan a visit the state capitol and visit your representative at the state capitol. And I would get so much pushback from women of color. This was a grant, everything paid for, transportation, lunch, your whole day, even your job. We pay you, if you had to take off from your job, we'll pay you a stipend just to go to the state capitol, meet your representative. I would get so much pushback. I'm telling you the stories that were told to me. I don't have a driver's license and I can't get in the building, one, or no identification. They're going to arrest me when I go to the state capitol because I have parking tickets or speeding tickets. Those types.
They don't
of
know that. That's a good one, though. That's a good one.
So it's like you have to re-educate the general community to say, give us your worst scenario of what you think will happen if you go to vote and cast your vote. What will happen? Will the sky fall? will someone arrest me? Well, you know, it seems silly to us, but to people, they've put those stereotypes out there. And we need to start dispelling that. And Barbara, you're an educator. So I'm pretty sure when you're doing door knocking for your campaign, you're also educating some people on this is how it's done. Come out.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. So what is your speech, your stump speech is come out tomorrow, go out to your this district and vote. What do you tell a young person or even an older person that may be a little fearful?
Well, the one that I have run across most recently and most prevalently is people think that if they have a felony record, they cannot vote in the state of Illinois. That is not true. Illinois automatically restores your voting rights. There is no question about your criminal background when you go to register to vote in the state of Illinois. Other states may have that caveat, but currently Illinois does not. So you can actually, and I've been telling people this, the legislature has made it possible for you to actually be able to register and vote on the same day. So if somebody is willing to vote and they have not registered previous to the election, they can go to the county building with their photo ID and a piece of mail from the address that matches their photo ID, and they will register that person to vote and allow them to cast a ballot. So Illinois is fairly liberal. Now, one of the things that they do after you are registered, they are always constantly checking to make sure that that address is a good address, because they'll send out a voter registration card, and if that card gets returned, you will get removed from the rolls. So, you know, it's a mixed bag, but people, you know, you're not going to get arrested if you go to the polls. You're not going to be asked for photo ID in the state of Illinois to vote. You don't have to have your voter's registration card with you to vote. So Illinois right now, compared to some states, is quite liberal. And the thing about it for us is we need to operate that franchise, because people do not realize everybody is looking to see who's voting and how they're voting. And based on that, they make their plans. So if they know that poor blacks and poor whites aren't coming out, then they don't have any compunction in cutting programs that serve that community, because you've taken your seat away from the table. You're saying, I'm full. I have enough. I'm good. And they're saying, okay, we can cut that because you didn't bother to vote.
Right, but, you know, and that's all good, but how do we stay on top of the issues? Like, you know, people are working, you're working two and three jobs. How, you know, and I know there's not much you can do at school. You can't pass out flyers or whatever at school, but
how do we keep people informed? That is the hard part. And that's one of the things that I like about our current age of media, being able to use the Facebook, the Twitter, email. At least you can get some information to people, and if they, you know, participate in those platforms, they're able to pick up bits and pieces. We here only have a local newspaper. We don't have television station. There are radio stations, and I hate to admit this, but I don't listen to the local radio here because it's all geared toward a certain group. You know, they play music from a certain era. They play a certain genre of music, and that's all they play. And so, then they buy the big name talk radio people whom, you know, I don't listen to Rush Limbaugh. I don't listen to Sean Hannity. So I'm not tuning in. And so folks who tune in to those media outlets will get a certain, side of the story. But we have to key into one another and talk to one another and basically use the free media to keep people informed.
What do you need your community to do for you on tomorrow? Tomorrow is a big day.
And tomorrow is Election Day, and I really need folks to come out and vote, and not just for me, because you get three selections for the Board of Education. You actually get so I would like for them to support not only me, but the other two incumbents that are running. Their names are Karen Johnson Gentry and Dana Washington. So, and I tell everybody, it's only four people on the ballot, so go to the bottom of the ballot and select the last three people, and you got us.
You got us. You got the deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's about selecting a team. And that when I did the candidate forum, that's what I really emphasized for people, to let them know that you're not just electing a person, because one person cannot run the Board of Education. It is a 7-member board, and to get anything done, four members have to agree. So we have to work as a team, and it's really good when we all work together and support things, wholeheartedly. And right now, the team that's on the board, we're really, keyed into what the superintendent wants to do, and we're keyed into what our kids need, and we're keyed into what's going on in Springfield with the state's finances and how rough that's going to be in the future.
Right. Well, Barbara, as we end our hour here on Cultural Conversations, what is your final thoughts of the whole political process? I know this is a local campaign there in Kankakee, but we can't. You are so inspirational and charismatic that you can't keep you in a bottle. If you were a genie, you would be out. You would have burst the bottle a long time ago. There's no keeping you and capitalized in something. There has to be more, and I don't want to put you on a spot right now, but there has to be more because you have a gift and you want to. What are your final thoughts on the whole political process?
Well, my final thoughts are anyone can get involved and anyone can play an active role. You don't have to sit at home and complain. If you think you want to get involved in politics, you think you want to run for office, you need to first go out and find out what are they doing in your community. You need to attend those meetings, attend those city council meetings, attend those county board meetings, attend those school board meetings, and actually know when are the committee meetings, because that's where the work is done. The work is not done at the general meeting where they're voting yay or nay. There may be some discussion, but every governing body has committees that meet and work around different parts of the agency. Like for the school board, we have finance and facilities, we have policy, we have curriculum and instruction, and we have personnel. So those are our four committees, and that's when we have our discussions with the superintendent or her cabinet about those issues in those committee meetings. Then when we come to our general meeting on the second and fourth Mondays of every month, we are then voting on what we've already discussed. So, you have to get involved. You have to find out what's going on, and you have to begin to pay attention. I got lucky and got appointed to the school board, and so I got kind of an inside look before I actually had to run. But if you take it upon yourself to really learn about your community, you can really find that there is work that you can do and that it would be greatly appreciated.
Well, Barbara, I want to thank you for joining Cultural Conversations tonight. We're excited to have you on, and best of luck tomorrow with this awesome campaign, and I hope that we'll be hearing much, much more and seeing much, much more of your political activism in the near future. Thank you.
All right.
This is Verona Mitchell, and thank you for joining me on Cultural Conversations. At Cultural Conversations, we're bringing weekly cultural issues and topics to our online studio. Join me next week as we bring more of Cultural Conversations. Thank you for joining me. See you next week.
Thank you.